We're going to be speaking from 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. We remembered, I trust, that Elisha took over from Elijah. We were speaking last night about Elijah, and here we're going to be speaking about the man who took over from Elijah, the prophet Elisha. Some people say Elisha. And I say Elisha, but maybe my pronunciation is not correct. Let's call him Elisha for the sake of keeping it all the same. Elisha was a prophet of God. And I think that the story that we have before us here in 2 Kings chapter 4 is one of the loveliest personal stories in the whole of the Bible. And I want you to think about this story. I want you to think about these verses. Do you know that there are just 7 verses in this story? That's all we're going to be thinking about this morning. 7 verses. And because this is just the kind of person I am, I thought to myself, I wonder how many words that is. So I counted them, and there are 228 words in this story. This is a short story. This is one of the shortest stories that you could possibly imagine. And yet it is one of the most beautiful stories as well. There is a complete history in this story, a complete episode in the life of this family. And here we see grace and goodness set forth by God using his prophet for the well-being of this lady and her sons. I don't think I could ever write a short story as well as this short story has been written. In 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 1, and we're just going to work down through the verses together. Verse says, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my 2 sons to be bondmen." So we're given the story here in a sense, in its introduction, in this opening verse. And we're told that it was a certain woman. I always like it when the Bible talks about a certain man or a certain woman, because that tells us that God knows who that person is. And I think that's important, because if you remember what we were speaking about last time we were here thinking about Elisha, we were talking about Jehoram and Jehoshaphat. I was going to ask you if you could remember those names, and then I thought I better not. These 2 kings were in a battle for the life of their nation. And then immediately, the next episode is that one single lady, a widow, a poor lady, is taking up the front position and the main position in our story. You see how God has moved from the national affairs of Israel and Judah to the personal, intimate circumstances of this lady. I love the way that the Lord knows us individually, and he knows us as a certain man, a certain woman, a certain boy, a certain girl. And here we're told that this was a certain woman. And she was in need. And the Lord sent Elisha to her. He left the battlefield. He left the wilderness. He went to where this woman was. And when the prophet came to the woman, it's a picture of the way in which the Lord sends the gospel to needy men and women. He sends the gospel to those whose hearts he is preparing to receive the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This was a home in which God was worshipped. We are told that the husband of this woman who had died was of the sons of the prophets, and therefore here was a home in which God was worshipped, and therefore God was interested in what was happening in this home. And I think if your mum and dad worship God in your home, then you should regard yourself as very blessed indeed. We're told something else about this lady. She was in debt. And she was in debt to a very hard debtor. One might wonder what kind of man would look upon the situation which had developed in this family of a husband who had died and think to himself, I'm going to get my money one way or another from these people, supposing I have to take her two sons and put them into slavery. What a terrible man that was. What a terrible attitude for anybody to have, that for the sake of a little bit of money, he was prepared to take from this woman all she had and every hope that she had, slighted as it was, her two only sons, and put them into bondage and slavery. You know, sin is a hard taskmaster. And sin in a person's life will show no pity. Be careful when you're young about playing with sin, about indulging in sin, because it is a very hard master. And it will draw from you, and it will take from you everything that it possibly can. The second verse says, and Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. One pot of oil was all she had. Think about it, maybe like a jar of olive oil or something that was sitting on the cupboard shelf. It was all she had in the whole house. Everything else was gone. One pot of oil. Elisha came to that lady because she was in need. The Lord sent him, and the Lord was going to provide for that lady whom he cared for. The pot of oil was all she had. And yet that tells us in picture form that the Lord blesses us in what he has given us. Think about that for a moment. The Lord blesses us in what he has given us. Do you know that this God, whom I follow and whom I serve, could have opened the heavens and rained down gold coins on that lady? He could have done that. There was a time in the experience of the disciples that they were sent to go and catch a fish, and when they opened the fish's mouth, there was a coin in the fish's mouth. The Lord could have provided for this lady in any number of amazing, miraculous ways, and we would have stood back and said, wow. But what he did was he took what that lady had. And we should remember that, because when we pray to God for help, sometimes that help comes in the most inconspicuous ways. We don't see how the amazing miracle that we hope for is ever going to be accomplished. And because we are looking for the amazing miracle to be accomplished, the Lord does us good in ways that we are not expecting. Ordinary ways, normal ways. We always have to have a spiritual eye looking for the goodness of God in the small things in life that he has given to us. The blessings that are best are the miracles that come to us in disguise. And the Lord uses small means, like the little rudder in the boat, to turn the huge ship and to make the things that he wills come to pass. Verse 3 says, then he said, go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbours, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. The lady was told to go and borrow empty vessels. How tried that lady must have been. How troubled in her circumstances. And here her faith was being tried. What for? What am I doing this for? Do you know that Elisha didn't tell her why she was doing it? He just said, go and do it. Go and do it. Here's what I want you to do. Go and do it. And that's how the Lord works with us sometimes. This lady was desperate. She said, I have no time for this. Perhaps she would have said to her sons, I don't know what Elisha's talking about. Quick, get a few vessels. Just give me one or two. And I'll have them. And then if he says, did you get them? I'll say, yes, here, they're here. But he said, not a few. Collect a lot. If we are faithful in small things, we will be rewarded by a generous Saviour. God can do anything, anytime, but he calls for faith in his people. Then Elisha says, when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. Shut the door. Sometimes we have to shut the world out when we're dealing with God. Sometimes it has to be that personal, intimate way in which we deal with God. God was going to show this lady something wonderful, but it was for her. It wasn't for the whole world. It was for her. And she was to shut that door and shut out the world, to be shut in with God, because he, at this stage, was her only hope. Verse 5 says, so she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. She started with that pot of oil that she had, and she started to pour it into the empty vessels. She was obedient without knowing what the outcome would be. Elisha hadn't explained it. And that reminds us that only God knows the end from the beginning. He knows what he's going to do with your life. He knows what he's going to do with my life. He knows what he's going to do with the life of this little congregation, this little fellowship. He knows. You don't. But you're called to be faithful. You're called to be patient. You're called to be obedient. You're called to look to God and trust in him. And it came to pass, verse 6, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. She begins to pour. One vessel is full. Then two vessels are full. Then three vessels, then four vessels, then 10 vessels. She begins to pour and she keeps on pouring, and that little pot of oil doesn't come to an end. And then she says, bring me another vessel. And her son says, there are no more empty vessels. And then the oil stopped flowing. It flowed until there were no more vessels. What limited God's goodness that day? The number of vessels that lady had collected was the only limit to his goodness to that lady that day. What would have happened if she had collected 10 more jars? What would have happened if she'd collected 100 more jars? Our Lord is sufficient for all our needs. And this lady proved God to be gracious to her and to her sons. Verse 7 says, then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. The widow came back to Elisha for more direction. What was she to do now? And that was wise. She just didn't take these things on her own shoulders. She went to the man of God and she sought more from the revelation of God. She didn't presume. Elisha hadn't told her because he was waiting to see the effect of her faith. She had to trust God. And God doesn't tell us what is going to happen, but day by day he guides us. The prophet says, sell the oil. Pay the debt. That was the first thing. That was the most important thing. Don't have this man hanging over you. Don't have the debt hanging over you any longer. Pay that debt. Be rid of that man. And then live on the rest. There was immediate help here for the woman because she was provided for with the abundance of oil. There was sufficient help because it paid for her debt. And there was enduring help, lasting help, because she was able to live off the rest which the oil provided. When we come to the Lord Jesus Christ for help, he gives immediate help. He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. When we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, he gives sufficient help, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And the Lord Jesus Christ gives lasting help. Never fear. God's grace and God's goodness will never run out as long as there is an empty vessel for that grace to fill. Psalm 84 verse 11 says, the Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. May the Lord open our eyes to see the Lord Jesus Christ in these beautiful instances of love and mercy and grace to the mourners in Zion. Amen.